Good. A good number of you were, of course, on hands involved in our seed line project over the weekend. And so you've already had a chance to meet Brother Dale Money and Brother Joe Demarest. But let me go ahead and introduce them again. This is Brother Dale Money and Brother Joe Demarest. And they have just come to our church this weekend and just with servants, a servant's heart and working hands and just jumped in and helped us. And what a blessing that was. I don't know about you, but I had a great time. I had a great time. And on the stage here is the fruit of our labors. And there's 10,200 copies of the Book of John and the Book of Romans that are boxed and will be ready to be shipped out to the foreign mission field. And so I'm very excited about this, about the whole project. And Brother Money, I just want to thank you and Brother Demarest publicly for coming and giving an entire weekend to our church to help oversee this project, be a blessing and encouragement. And what I've asked Brother Money to do is take the Sunday school hour, and I think Brother Demarest is going to come and take part of it. They're going to show a video, and they're going to educate us a little bit more about the Seed Line Project. And then, of course, Brother Money will be preaching in the Sunday morning service. Come on up, brother. God bless you.
See a video. But as that comes up, I'm going to give you a verse. I want you to think about this. Psalm 68:11. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word." Aren't you glad that He gave the word? Aren't you glad today that with assurance we can come to the house of God and we can hold the written word of God? I'm glad He spoke it, but I'm awfully glad He wrote it down. You know what? It probably lost some things in translation. I'm glad we've got the written word of God here today that I can study it, I can look at it, I can review it, and I can apply it in my life. The Lord gave the word.
Amen.
That's good enough right there.
Amen.
But there's a second part of that verse. The verse says, "Great was the company of those that published it." You know, it wasn't our responsibility to come up with the word. That was God's. That was His responsibility. And He did it perfectly. But it's our responsibility to publish it. He's given us that opportunity to take His word and to publish it. Great was the company. And you know what, folks? You're part of that company.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thought? Great was the company. It just wasn't one person or 10 people or 5 people. Great was the company of those that published it. And what a blessing that is. It's good to be a part of that company. I've been a part of a lot of companies before and not always been proud to be a part of those companies. But I sure am glad to be a part of this company. The publishing of the Word of God. And you've had a part in that. For just a few moments, I'd like to play a video for you. Brother Rands came not long ago and was able to show our ministry video as a whole, Bearing Precious Seed, and you got to see that. But today we're going to focus on a leg or a part or a section of that ministry that we call Seedline, BPS Seedline. And so in just a moment we're going to play that video and give you an opportunity to see more about the ministry in specific to what we've done here and what's happening in churches all over the United States as well as in Canada. I've been having a little difficulty with my DVD player. It stopped on us for a second, but I think it'll keep going.
I can speak any language, and my message is clear. It is always the same. I am never rushed, nor is any distance too great for me to travel to reach one soul. I require no passport or visa. Often, my travels take me to the sick and dying, yet I never fear disease. I witness to many people who have never heard of Christ. I need not sleep because I never tire. I am able to work day and night. I do not require food, for I am never hungry. Yet I feed many. I need no furlough and am capable of teaching thousands at the same time. No one can harm me, though many have tried. I can preach the gospel everywhere. I transcend all distinctions of class and party. I penetrate every level of society, the rich and poor alike. I am free from the limitations of race and nationality, as there is no yellow, black, brown, or white distinction to me. My message goes straight to the heart without respect to color of the skin. I address men as individuals in need of a Savior's love. For you see, my life is not a physical life. I am only made of paper. My life is the power of God behind the words printed on my pages. I am the gospel in print. Amen. In the beginning, God spoke the world and all there is into existence. As recorded in Genesis, God gave His law by an oral witness. But on Mount Sinai, God wrote His words on tablets of stone. From that point forward, His people were commanded to write and copy His word throughout the ages. From the priests to the kings, from the prophets to the apostles, from the first church to the local church, God's plan has always remained the same: to publish and distribute the scriptures in the language of the people. If you couldn't get another Bible, what would yours be worth? Thankfully, most people in America will never have to grapple with that question. Our deep-rooted heritage includes religious freedom and economic opportunities to purchase most things in life. But in much of the world, these are privileges people do not enjoy. In fact, as we enter the third millennium, more people than ever before have yet to see a copy of the Word of God. We are told that of our world's 6,809 known languages, only 405 have the complete Bible translated and printed. Another 1,034 have only the New Testament, leaving nearly 5,370 languages with less than the New Testament in written form. For a person to have the Word of God in his language is perhaps the greatest blessing he can receive. Psalm 68:11 states, "The Lord gave the Word, great was the company of those that published it." In 1973, after being challenged by Dr. Don Frazier, First Baptist Church of Milford, Ohio saw the great need to publish the Word of God to all the world as mandated in Scripture. This grew out of a doctrinal need for local churches to be involved in the printing and spreading of the gospel. The ministry was called Bearing Precious Seed after the truth found in Psalm 126:6, which states, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." As the years passed, the ministry expanded its production capabilities with the building of a permanent print shop and the purchase of a Heidelberg Harris web press. One day, a dear missionary made a request for 1 million Spanish John Romans for Mexico City, Mexico. The plan was to sow different parts of the city with the Word of God in preparation for church planting. We had the desire and the equipment, but not the people to do a project of the size and magnitude. Prayers went up and a plea went out to other churches for help. Three churches answered the call to go beyond giving to have a direct, hands-on involvement. 3 years later, 1 million scriptures have been printed, finished, and sown in Mexico City. Realizing what churches could accomplish by working together, the vision for BPS Seedline was born.
Seedline Ministry is churches being involved in partnering with us at different levels, which allow us and them the opportunity to do what God shared and God desires His church to do, whether it be the printing of the Scripture, whether it be the putting together of the Scripture, the mailing of the Scripture, the distribution of the Scripture. Obviously, we want to reach the world for Christ. We can't do it alone as a single church, so we need help from other churches. That's where Seedline Ministry is so important.
The goal of BPS Seedline is to publish the scriptures and to make them available at no cost to missionaries and nationals in as many languages as possible, knowing that God's Word will not return void. This goal would not be possible without like-minded churches who share in the same vision of spreading the gospel throughout the world. There are three levels in which churches can participate, ranging from the project church level, which requires a minimal investment of time and money, to the more advanced planted church level, where they are involved on a more consistent basis with greater production, and ultimately, the partnering church, who helps other churches share in the vision of BPS Seedline. When a church first gets involved, they start at the project church level. This introduces a church to scripture publishing without the burden or cost of purchasing equipment. The church covers the cost of the materials, such as the printed scriptures, covers, and boxes, as well as the travel expense of the BPS missionary who comes and assists with the project. BPS Seedline will provide all the equipment that is needed. The scriptures are assembled over the course of a few days. Upon completion, the scriptures are either kept for local distribution or sent abroad to the foreign field.
I'm Phil Smith, and I'm from Vision Baptist Church in Leduc, Alberta, Canada. And we've been involved in the Seedline ministry for about 5-6 years. We have about 10 to 15 people that meet on Monday nights, and we work together as we put together the scriptures, we do the collating, we will do the stapling, and then we go to the cutters and we trim it and we put it into the boxes, label it, and then we ship it out. And it's a good time for our church to spend time together. We work together like a family, and it really does bring us closer together, and it is a time that we really enjoy in our church, and we trust that the Lord will use that to keep us working for Him.
Seedline Ministry to me is a hands-on missions program. You know, in most churches, people give into the offering plate for missions, and then they go their way, and that's all the missions they know about, and sometimes they'll see a missionary who comes into the church. But when you can walk in and you can literally take and put together the pages of the Word of God that you know is going to be shared with someone in another language, in another country, and they'll come to know Jesus Christ, then you know that you're having a hands-on application of missions in your own life. You're part of missions, not just giving to missions.
Willing churches with willing hearts and willing hands, both young and old, can have a part. We believe that the BPS Seedline Ministry gives an opportunity for everyone to have a personal, hands-on involvement in worldwide missions.
You know, if we're going to reach the world for Christ, in essence, there's two things that's necessary. You have to have a messenger and you have to have a message. The message is the Word of God. We must get the Word of God to the world. Every individual needs to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so the Word of God is essential. The messenger cannot go without a message. So our desire is to send a messenger with the Word of God in his language, whatever language that may be in.
We will never know the full impact BPS and its Seedline churches have had until we reach heaven. What we do know is that over 56 million Bibles and scripture portions have been sent throughout the world in as many as 110 countries. It is said that for every scripture sent to the foreign field, 7 people will read that scripture. Out of those 7 people, 1 may come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. If this is true, over 56 million people have been born into the family of God because of people who gave, labored, and prayed. What will you do this year to send the gospel to the regions beyond you? Although millions already have a copy of God's Word, there are billions still waiting.
Still waiting. Folks, we got to get the Word of God out. We got to. It's got to get out of the storehouse. It's not doing any good here. We got to get it out. Folks, there are people waiting on this right here.
They're waiting on it. Their lives are broken. Their houses are falling apart. And they're on the way to a devil's hell. And they're waiting. What we've done this week is of eternal value. It's just, it is a neat thing. And it was a fun thing. But it's just not a neat thing. And it's just not a fun thing. It's an eternal thing.
Amen.
And it's a God thing. With us this morning, it's my privilege to have Brother Joe Demarest with me. I won't steal his thunder, but Brother Joe has been a faithful man in our church many, many, many years. His father, this faithful man, has now gone on to be the Lord, be with the Lord. And maybe he'll say some things like that this morning. So I'd like Brother Joe to come up, give a testimony, and just take as much time as you'd like and share with the people what God's put on your heart this morning. Thank you, Brother Joe.
Well, if Brother Money would ask me to lead a song, I'd feel far less nervous, because that's what I—that's what I did for 34 plus years at our church.
Yeah, amen.
Sorry, I didn't plan to get all excited about that, but I'd like to talk about choices for a few minutes today, and just say I thank God that we live in a country where it was founded on godly principles. And regardless of what somebody else would want to teach you in school or say to you in the public venue, our country was founded upon godly principles. And according to what I understand, not just godly principles, but a desire to get the Word of God and to spread the Word of God to other people on this continent. And so with that thought in mind, I thank God for the choices that other people made hundreds of years ago. And because of that, we have a free country that we can live in today. And because of that, we're able to make choices. Now, the people in our society at large do not make godly choices. And like Brother Money said, people all around the world, billions of people, need the Word of God. And their lives are in shambles. And their lives are in a mess. And they are, in fact, bound for a Christless eternity. Because anyone that has not believed on the name of the Son of God is condemned already, the Bible tells us. So with those thoughts in mind, and none of that first part was planned, but I'll try to stick to the plan here. I was born in St. Joseph, Missouri, a few years ago. I'll not say how many, because other people had birthdays and they celebrated and they had to tell. So I won't tell, but you can tell by looking, it wasn't just 10 or 20 years ago. To an unsaved mom and dad. My dad passed out cigars in the Catholic hospital in St. Joseph, Missouri. Now, that's the home of the Pony Express. So I want you to know I come from a very historically oriented town and just a great metropolis. It's probably about as big as Linton down the road here. All right? And so at that time, my folks were unsaved. Because of a choice that mom and dad made to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt my life took a drastic turn compared to what it would have been had I been raised in a home of unsaved people. And now, many of you have made the choice, all of you, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. And because of that, other choices have been true in your life, and other choices and opportunities have come about in the lives of your family members and your children and those around you. So again, thank God for those choices. And my folks were saved about 4 years later. My dad was known by his friends as the kind of a guy who would just do whatever he did. He was in all the way, all right? And he was, I remember walking back to the hometown, and people, they just couldn't quite believe that Carlos Demarest was saved, you know, and that he was a preacher. And so, thank God for choices. Parents, through a soul-winning, he was won to Christ through a soul-winning Methodist preacher. I hope that the gospel is preached in a few Methodist churches around nowadays, but thank God that preacher had a burden for souls. And so they trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. My dad pastored two Methodist churches in Missouri, a Congregational Christian church. Then he met a man in Wichita, Kansas, named Art Wilson, who was a Baptist preacher. And Brother Wilson ordained him into the ministry. And at that point, I'm sure that God was just aligning our family and my parents with what they already believed. And so now they got the name straight as far as that part goes. But you know what? It's not about the name in many ways, but yet it is about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of him, we have salvation. And thank God that he chose to come to save us and to make opportunity for us to be saved and to learn and grow and then to sit and to witness to other people along the way. And so he really just got his church name lined up with what he already believed. We lived in Iowa. We lived in Missouri. We lived in Kansas. We lived in Ohio. And in Lebanon, Ohio, some of my choices started coming into play. Now, if you grew up in my home, it didn't seem like you had a lot of choices for a while, okay? Anybody feel that way? Maybe I'm asking the wrong crowd. They already left the room. So when it was time for me to make my choices, I made some wrong choices, but I made a few right ones, and one of them was, of course, to be saved and trust the Lord Jesus Christ at age 9. Another key choice in my life was what to do after high school. And I was a believer, I was saved, and I thought, now I need to go off to college, first of all. And I was going to go to Ohio State if I had the credentials to get in, because my friend Jim Fair went there. But the opportunity came along to attend Midwestern Baptist College. Dr. Malone at that time was the president, Dr. Tom Malone, in Pontiac, Michigan. Now, why anybody would on purpose choose to go to Pontiac, Michigan, I don't know. I didn't realize that part about the choice, all right? It's like my sister. She and her family live in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Why would somebody want to live there unless the military made them? So a choice comes along. Midwestern Baptist College, thank God. Because of Midwestern Baptist College, and actually because of an association with Charles Keene and our family, I knew about the school to begin with. So I went up there, met my wife, who at that time was Janice Adkins, and she came from West Virginia, and she was in college, and I met her, and I was interested, okay? And sometime not too far later, she asked me to marry her. But in truth, I did ask her, and she chose to say yes. So thank God for that choice that she made way back then. And I'm glad and just thankful for a godly, faithful wife. So she chose salvation, and she chose marriage, she chose Jesus, and she chose me. And I've been happy for it ever since. And I'd encourage anybody that's not married, first of all, find a saved person to date. And then from that crowd, you can pick someone. If God is leading that direction, you'll be in the right field and you'll be in the right place to find the right person to someday marry. So let me encourage you, just make choices, the right choices in that direction. Then it was time to graduate. So here's January 1971, and it's time to go get out of school and do something. Now, I wasn't, didn't have it all together in my future planning at that point, and I didn't know that with only a few months left till graduation, you're supposed to be concerned about what's going to happen next, all right? So I here I am just kind of having a good old time, thinking I'm going to graduate from college and I'll probably lead music in a church somewhere, because that's mostly what I kind of worked on and studied in school. And Dr. Keene came up and he needed someone to lead the music at the church. And he said, would you like to come? And I said yes, not that I had a whole lot of other offers to choose from. And I just said, I'm coming, all right? I thank the Lord for the opportunities that he put in my path. And you can see later on how that God made opportunities available. And so when we just follow his leadership, I also thank him that he didn't give me a lot of choices, because he just kind of made one or two steps clear along the way, and that's what I needed. And I thank God for those opportunities. So please be alert to those. And I thank God how he worked in that direction. So it was time to go off to college and be the music director at a Baptist church in Milford, Ohio. And I thought I was going to lead the music. In fact, that was only a very small part of what actually happened. And so along the way, I've been music and assistant pastor, and music and associate pastor for a little while, and music and bus director. And the bus ministry went to an all-time record low under my direction. And so, and then I tried to lead a teen choir for a while, and I knew that God didn't call me in the teen youth ministry. But I thank the Lord that during all that time, I know I'm kind of having maybe more fun than we intended to today. But serving God is an enjoyable thing. And following in his path leads to enjoyment and leads to pleasure and leads to productivity. And so I thank God for that. And it's exciting to be in a church. When we showed up here Friday night and unloaded with just under an hour to get ready, and it was time to eat pizza and it was time to start work, people came in, and I think Michael, we asked for a volunteer to work on the machines, and he jumped over there and started in, and others did. So thank the Lord for the spirit of this place and what I observed then and Saturday. And if you were involved, thank the Lord for you, and it was so wonderful. And if you didn't have that opportunity, let me encourage you to know that you're still a part of this project as a member of this church, and you can be a greater and ongoing part by prayer and by giving and by being involved in another project that comes along. So all those things happened in my life, and I was the music director for 34 plus years. Pastor one day said, would you like to take a little break for a while? Well, taking a break for us is half a day off or something. No, I'm just kidding. And he said, he's talking more long term. And I thought, well, you know, I could use a little rest of some kind, a little change of scenery or whatever. And so I took some time off with the idea to think through what and just see if God was going to allow me and want me to keep leading the music or go in another direction. And came back last October with the clear leadership. And I remember the very day that I surrendered to the Lord to not lead the music and to go another direction. I wrote the time down in August last year. And at that point, still not having gone back home and facing the decision and all the rest of the consequences and sitting out there and not being up front leading the songs, I wondered how that was going to go. Had great confirmation from the very first service on that Sunday morning that was what God had in mind for me to not do, all right? And so now other opportunities opened up on the staff of our church, including outreach and discipleship, and I'm excited about that. And along the way came the opportunity to travel with and check out the possibility of being involved in Seedline Ministries, which gets me right back to where I started with our family and my father in bearing precious seed. And I remember going on lots of Mexico trips one missionary sleeping in the back of his 65 Chevy, because at that time cars were very large and you could literally sleep in the trunk of a car. And so we're out in the mountains, and that's what he did. And so when you hand a Bible to someone in another country who can now have the Word of God in their language It's such a great blessing. And when you hear of those people trusting Christ and people being saved, everything you've done this weekend has been an investment in that direction. And I would encourage you to continue being involved, to get involved. If you have a chance to go on a mission trip, do that. And I'm more than 10 minutes, so I'm going to stop by simply saying our pastor saw something in me that he wanted to allow for me to shift gears. And I would encourage you, as your pastor directs this church, he may make some plans and do some things or approach you individually and ask you to do something. Let me encourage you to just take that as from the Lord, because I believe God uses the man of God to direct us and to guide us in the areas where sometimes we don't even know for sure and we're a little in doubt. But if I know that a man who prays and reads the word and walks with the Lord is giving me some direction, I want to pay attention to that. So I encourage you as members to do the same, to love the Word of God, to live the Word of God, and to simply proclaim it with your lives, verbally, right in this area, and around the world too. One man said to me one time, I heard him say this, and it struck me. He said, "We are so busy sending the gospel around the world that we fail to see the world around us. And we want to do both, and both are necessary." So I encourage you to be a part of that, to continue to be a part of it. And I know God will bless this greatly, because in Isaiah 48, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So isn't it a great thing to be a part of something that will stand forever? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Demarest. What a joy that is. What a heart. The Word of God. What a servant of the Lord. It's a testimony to me. And it says, keep on going. Just keep on going. Let me share another quick verse with you real quick, and then you're going to be dismissed. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verse number 4. I want to ask you a question. Can God trust you? Can God trust you? Think about that. When I was a little boy, I was born in a hospital, but I was raised in church. As a little child, I had a drug problem. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, Mom and Dad drugged me to church. And it became a problem. But I remember in Sunday school, a little lady named Miss Ruth taught me a verse. It came out of Proverbs 3, verse 4 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. God was saying, trust me, trust me. In Bible college, I was seeking the Lord's will in my life. I didn't start quite as late through my college career looking for places, Brother Joe. But I still didn't know about that same time. I didn't know. And the Lord gave me a verse out of Psalm 85:13. Righteousness shall go before Him and shall set us in the way of His steps. God said, trust me, trust me. Trust me. And about a year ago, at most, I came across this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 4. The Bible says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. But as we were allowed of God. That word allowed means permission. God permitted us to have His Word. He's given us permission. Not only has He given us permission, but He's approved it. That word allowed also means approved. That word not only means to permit and to approve, but it means to appoint. And with an appointment, or to be appointed, comes responsibility. But we were allowed of God. Aren't you glad God allowed us to have this book? Aren't you glad that God permitted me? I mean, who am I? Who am I? Who are you? The richest physical treasure that we could have is the Word of God. The tangible treasure. The greatest thing we could have tangibly is the Word of God. And God has allowed us, permitted, and even appointed us to have it. He said, I want you to have it. But then the verse goes on. But we were allowed of God to be put in trust. Now, I've read a lot of verses in my life that says to trust God. Trust God, trust God, trust God. But here's a verse that says, God, trust me. We've been put in trust with this book. We've been trusted to read it. We've been trusted to study it. We've been trusted to hide it in our hearts. We've been entrusted to publish it to the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to do that. God says, I have put you in trust, which means He has confidence in. He has confidence that you and I are going to do right with this book. And He also means not only confidence, but relies on us. He relies on us to do it. He relies on us to study it. He relies on us to memorize it. He relies on us to teach it. And it relies on us to publish it. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, Paul says, even so we speak. We're going to do something about it.
Amen.
My time's gone. Sunday school's over. But I want to give you a thought. Can God trust you? Can God trust you with His Word? Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for the Sunday school hour. Lord, we praise Your name for it. We magnify You. We're thankful. We come this morning in thankful heart. Lord, we also come this morning realizing not only our responsibility, but our privilege that You've given men and women, boys and girls, to publish Your Word. Thank You for it. Bless this church. Thank You for Pastor Ross. Bless him today and his family. May he be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you both, gentlemen, for getting up and speaking the Word of God to us, encouraging our heart, challenging us. What a powerful thing it's been. And talking about that missionary sleeping in the back of his big trunk, I went on a mission trip to Mexico with your daddy, and he put us all in a church building, let us sleep on the floor, but I couldn't find him. And the next morning I got up early and was looking around. Walked out from the church, looking around, thinking, I wonder where Brother Demers, you know, he probably went to some 4-star motel and staying in luxury while we're laying on the floor here. And I was standing by the bus we brought down, and all of a sudden I heard something kicking the side of the bus. Boom, boom, looking at this bus like, what's going on? And all of a sudden the luggage compartment kicks open. Down, it's one of those old charter buses. Luggage compartment door kicks open. He comes rolling out. Stands up, stretches, praise God, brother. I'm like, you sleeping there? He said, yeah, it's not real comfortable, but it's private. He was something else.